Today on episode number 727 of the School of Podcasting, we've got 30 strategies to help you grow your audience, and something's happening at the end of July that's going to help you make money with your podcast. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I'm your award-winning Hall of Fame podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you are new to the show, welcome aboard. This is where I help you start your podcast and grow your influence. My website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you go over there, you can use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, when you sign up for either a monthly or yearly subscription. Or if you want, you can order the courses a la carte. And today we're going to be sharing 30 ideas to help you grow your podcast audience. And one of the first things we're going to talk about is you have to make sure that your podcast isn't driving people away. That is not a good thing. You don't want people turning on your show and having them go, ugh, because your audio sounds horrible. And that's why I'm so happy that Focusrite is sponsoring the podcast today. If you've not heard of Focusrite, they have a great line called Scarlett. And it really doesn't matter if you need one input, four input, eight microphone inputs. It doesn't matter. They have over 3 million units sold worldwide. It is easily the best-selling USB interface. So if you need a way to get your microphone into your computer, this is the way to go. And they have superior sound quality that's really going to make you sound your best. So if you're a person that's like, I'm afraid of sounding unprofessional, not if you got a Focusrite. The Scarlett series is so easy to use. This is why I love it. You plug your microphone in, you plug the unit into your computer. Once everything connects, you plug your microphone in and turn it up and talk. And if it's red, it's too loud. And you turn it down till it goes to green. And when you're green, that's it. It's really that easy. It works with whatever recording software you're already using, works with any type of XLR microphone, whether it's a Shure or a Hiyo or whatever. And some units actually have loopback, which allows you to record Skype or Zoom calls directly into the software you're already using with no workarounds. Iteration of this particular model, and now they've added a new feature called Air that adds just a little bit of brightness and presence to your voice. They have a great interface selector tool. If you go out to the website, schoolofpodcasting.com/727, I'll have links to that, or just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/Focusrite. Focusrite, thank you so much for sponsoring the School of Podcasting. We are going to talk about 30 strategies today to help grow your audience. And also later in the show, wait till you hear what's going to happen on July 27th that's going to enable you to make money with your podcast. That's also coming up in the show. But there are some things we have to talk about here before we get into the strategies. And that is, first things first, creating a podcast is not hard. And you're like, what? Then why do I need the School of Podcasting? Well, hold on. I could right now grab my phone and fart into it and, using probably a free app, have that appear on Apple Podcasts as a podcast in a couple days. So creating a podcast is not hard. Creating a good podcast takes some thought, takes some planning, takes a little courage maybe. Put yourself out there, and that's what I help you do. So let's talk about what is a good podcast, because the first thing when it comes to getting listeners is not losing them when they show up. It makes no sense to do that. And one of the characteristics is it's information that you can't get anyplace else. That's what makes a good podcast. That's one of the characteristics. And I was listening to a podcast called Scene on Radio, and they have a segment called Seeing White. It's all about racism from kind of like looking at like how white people have acted over the years. And in the show notes today, at episode, I forget what episode it is, but at the 2 minute and 36 second mark, you hear how really not that long ago, the state of Virginia passed a law for colonial citizenship. So this is back in 1680. That's really not that long ago. And they stated that you could not be a citizen if you had one drop of blood in you that was not from a white person. So this was all about, in other words, you have to be white to be a citizen. Yeah, that's, and here's the kicker. That was the law, they said, except for John Rolfe and Pocahontas. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, was that not just obviously like privilege for the rich white guy and nobody had a problem with that? And they didn't because, well, the rich white guy and Pocahontas had children who were wealthy as well. He was really into tobacco and his kids were successful. So it's okay. And when I heard that, I was like, what? That is not on the Wikipedia page. So if you can deliver content that you can't get anyplace else. And other great examples of this are like Congressional Dish. I loved Congressional Dish today. I love you, Jen Briney. She was talking about the bills that are going through, and it's just amazing. She actually reads the bills that go through Congress and then tells you what your representatives here in the U.S. are up to, or probably more importantly, not up to. The No Agenda Show is another kind of politically, they dissect the media. And again, it's just information that for whatever reason, I can't get anyplace else. Other super neat shows, Adoptees On, are for people who have been adopted. Because the only people that know what it's like to be adopted is, well, people that have been adopted. Same thing for Lee Silverstein. He does the show We Have Cancer, which you might guess is for people who, yep, have cancer. Or The Chameleon Breeder, who I always say takes the cake when it comes to information that you just can't get anyplace else. I don't see a lot of chameleon breeding talk in the newspaper, in magazines, TV, nothing. So that is one characteristic of a great podcast is when your audience finds it and goes, holy cow, I've been looking for this. Now, granted, the more niche you get, the smaller the audience in some cases, but you're also going to have people that are like super loyal because they can't get this information anyplace else. Well, I know you might be thinking, but Dave, I'm just going to do like a movie review show or something that's just not super niche. Well, again, I would say, really, can you not niche down a little bit? But if you think about it, every night, the president of the United States or a prime minister of another country, they will do or say something, and there will be multiple sources that we're going to cover that story. And each one has their own viewpoint, and they also have their own personality. And I listen to James Cridlin. He does podnews.net. And while James does a great job of taking information that some might say I could get someplace else, because James is getting it from somewhere, but I know this, it takes a lot of time to get all the news he gets and puts it together. So there again is my favorite word, value. He's saving me time. But here's the thing. He doesn't do it frequently. But every now and then, and James is from, you know, he's British. Actually, he's Australian, but he's got that accent, you know, right. And every now and then, he will put in just an ever so subtle, proper English bit of sarcasm, and it just makes me smile. And so if somebody said, where do you get your news from? I like the personality. Now, some people might say, how dare you? You're delivering the news. Well, for me, I like stuff that makes me smile. So I love that. Podnews.net. Here's another example of that. I have two McDonald's near my house, and they're almost exactly the same distance apart from each other. They're about a half a mile each. And yet I always choose one over the other. Anyone near Ohio, I go to the one in Talmadge, not the one on Howe Avenue. Why? Because I get a smile there. They seem friendly, and they actually seem thankful that I came to their establishment. So what's the difference there? It's the same crappy food. It's the personality. So if you're doing a show that's not that niche, you have to inject some personality into that. So one thing that podcasts give you that are great, information you can't get anyplace else. And then the other thing is they either make you laugh, cry, think, or groan. Now, if they're not doing any of those, chances are they're educating you or they're just entertaining you. And my guess is if they're entertaining you, they're making you laugh, cry, think, or groan. And I've talked about that before. If you ever worry that other shows similar to yours are going to do the same thing that you do, I was laughing today. I'm out walking in the park before I get ready to record, and I'm listening to my buddy Eric K. Johnson. He's my co-host on Podcast Review Show. If you want to get your show reviewed, go over to podcastreviewshow.com. And he's got a course called Audience Amplification. And to kick off his course, he's doing an episode on, you guessed it, growing your podcast audience. And here's what I love about this. Eric's episode is completely different than mine. Eric has 30 years in radio and consequently has a lot more experience on shaping content. And Eric's just not in radio as well. He's been like number one in his markets for years. That is not easy to do. So his episode was much more about content. My episode, coming from Dave, kind of the technical guy, is more about physical strategies. And Eric actually has a course called Audience Amplification. And he's doing a special deal. This course is going to be live for 6 weeks. He's going to do kind of live coaching, group coaching with you on making sure that not only do you get your audience, but you keep them. And this first time he's doing it 50% off. So if you go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/AA, that's short for Audience Amplification, you can actually take his course. And so, as I mentioned, I'm going to be doing more of like physical things you can do, which you need, as well as you need Eric's bit on making sure your content is great. And this was inspired by Scott Johnson. Scott does the show What Was That Like? You can find it, whatwasthatlike.com. And he shared this, I think it was in either a Podcasters Happy Hour, that's a little Zoom group I have, podcastershappyhour.com, or it might have just been in us talking, but he shared a strategy he tried, and that then inspired me to create this episode. Well, joining me via Squadcast, how long have I known you? It's been a while.
It's been quite a while. You helped me start my very first podcast episode, which I know was 2012.
Yeah.
So late 2011, early 2012, something like that.
Yeah. And that was that PC Tutor or was that the running one?
Yeah. No, that was the Computer Tutor podcast, which is still going.
How long has What Was That Like been going on?
In July, it'll be 2 years.
Why don't you tell us about your latest strategy and how it's working?
And I had done a few of this in a kind of a smaller process. Simply called promo trades, where you can create a short MP3 file, like a little commercial for your podcast. Find another podcast host that will play that at the end of their show. They make one, you play it at the end of your show, and it works out great. I've done a few of those, but the idea that I had was not just a promotional trade, but to actually do a full episode swap, where you play somebody else's show in your feed, somebody else plays your show in their feed. It's doing something like that is much, much bigger. It requires a more careful approach because, you're making your audience listen to a different show. And the other host, of course, is doing the same thing to his or her audience. So it has to be a really good match. You really got to plan it. And for my show, part of the reason I started doing my show is because I couldn't find these stories anywhere else, and it's the content that I wanted to listen to, and so I started doing it myself. There's only one other show that I've been able to discover that was kind of like mine. Not exactly like it, but it's a show called This Is Actually Happening, and the host finds people with really unusual stories, and he gets them to tell those stories, just like kind of like what I do, although it's sort of a different type of story. It's not, mine are mainly primarily event based, like somebody got attacked by an alligator, and his are more, he has some stories like that, but a lot of his are relational based, like abused growing up and something happened later, and that kind of thing. But really, still interesting stories. So I knew his show and my show would be a good match for an episode swap. But I delayed contacting him for a while because, you only get one chance to make a good first impression. Mm. And, you know, doing an episode swap with another host is, it's a kind of a big commitment, you know? And so I wanted to make sure I got it right. So I kind of procrastinated because I knew I have to word this email just right. You don't want to come on too strong. And so finally, but, you know, eventually I did. I sent him an email and he replied and he agreed to it. And he was actually excited about doing it himself because I had already listened to some of his episodes. I listened to his show regularly. And so he had not heard of my show, but he listened to my show, some of my episodes, and he loved it. And we both thought, wow, this is great. We really need to do this. So we started planning it. And it turns out, from a time chronological standpoint, we both do episodes every other week. So we both had an off week coming up. And so rather than replace one of my episodes with one of his, we both did it during the off week. His was on a Tuesday. Mine was on a Friday. Or his episodes normally play on a Tuesday. So that's when he played one of mine. And I listened to it when it came out. And I didn't know exactly what he was going to say. But to what he the way he introduced my episode on his show was, you know, I know this is an off week. You don't normally have a show this week, but if you like the content of This Is Actually Happening and the stories that we do here, you're going to love this show. And so I talked, and he really promoted it. And so that's what, I mean, his listeners are hearing it from him, that you like my show, you're going to love this show. And that was huge. And I did the same thing, you know, on Friday when I played his episode. And the results were huge. I knew it would be big, but it's been more than I could have expected. We did that at the end of April, and that made April a record month for me for downloads. And now we're at the end of May, and my May downloads are going to be triple what April was. So yeah, really big. Got a lot of new listeners from it. But, you know, the big thing that I realized as soon as it started happening is I've got, you know, when we did that, I had 50 episodes out, and everybody that discovered my show downloaded 50 episodes.
You know? That's great. I mean, that's a sign that it's a good podcast.
Right. And if you've got hundreds or thousands of people finding your show and each one of them is 50 downloads, you know, that adds up. So, and a lot of new subscribers too, of course. So yeah, very happy with it.
Yeah. Did you guys worry about like, hey, I get more downloads than you do, you should run it twice? Or was it just a gentleman's handshake and good enough? It's a good match. We'll see what happens. Or
that's all it was. Yeah. He and I, after the initial email, we arranged to talk by phone. And that's when we really kind of developed a really good rapport. And so I knew I could trust him. He knew he could trust me. And no, we didn't have a contract. We didn't talk how our downloads compared, or anything like that. So I know some people, when they're thinking about maybe approaching another podcast or about doing a promo trade or something like that, that's the first thing they think of. Oh, that other show has so many more downloads than I do. They're not going to want to do that, but subject never came up. So it's, you know, if the content is good, I'm still delivering value to his audience. He's delivering value to my audience.
And again, you can find Scott's show, whatwasthatlike.com. It's a fabulous show. And as I mentioned, it's information you can't get anywhere. I still think my favorite episode was the guy that was smuggling cocaine in balloons up, you know, where the sun doesn't shine, and the balloon broke. So A, it's a bummer because you're going to have a heart attack because you have a ton of cocaine, or was it heroin? It was some sort of drug. And then B, oh, by the way, you're going to jail. So check it out, whatwasthatlike.com. And there are a couple different variations on this. And in this case, as Scott pointed out, he, you know, took his time. This was some of these are low-hanging fruit, and they have then great results, as Scott was talking about. And then other ones are going to be like, well, this one's easy, and it may not have huge results like Scott did. So, but there are variations on this one. You could do just, hey, let me give you a 30-second promo, and you give me a 30-second promo, and we'll trade them that way. Instead of like, hey, let me actually put a whole episode down your feed kind of thing. And you'll notice they also personally introduced each show. So that is the first one. One down, 29 to go. Now, number two, be a guest or have a guest on your show. So Adam Curry, I mentioned the No Agenda show. He was on the Joe Rogan Experience, which doesn't hurt because, you know, it's like the number one podcast. But he keeps hearing all these people like, hey, I discovered your show because you were on Joe Rogan. Well, obviously, we all can't be on Joe Rogan, but just being on somebody else's show that is around your topic, again, let's make it smart. It's not going to make me rich if I go on some sort of knitting show because I'm not going to be able to deliver a lot of value there. So either be a guest on a show or have other guests on your show. And I did an entire episode about this, episode 677. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/677, you can hear everything I've ever said about that particular topic. Now, the third one here is from my buddy Glenn Hebert. You might know him as Glenn the Geek. And we now, it's actually a verb now. When people use strategy number three, which is, I call it the trade show strategy, but most people just say, Glenn the Geeked it. So I actually went back, and Glenn was been on my show more than any other guest. If you actually go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Glenn, that's with two N's, Glenn the Geek, you'll see all of his appearance there because they're all gold. But this is a great strategy.
We knew that there was this trade show. We had gone to this trade show as a buyer. It's called ADA. It's the American Equestrian Trade Association. It happens twice a year in Philadelphia. It's where the wholesalers and the manufacturers meet the retailers, not open to the public. And I kind of knew them. They kind of knew me because we had gone years before, but I basically called them up and said, look, I want to be the official radio network of the American Equestrian Trade Association. You pay our booth, we'll pay our way, but we will do a radio show from your show. And we'll get some of the manufacturers over to highlight their new products. It's a win for you because they're paying to have a booth and you're giving them extra, you know, clout, extra bonus. You're giving them free advertising on the Horse Radio Network. And they said, okay, that sounds like a plan. All we have to do is give you a booth, right? And they used to give us the booth that was whatever was left. So we would move around, but it was always pretty good booths, actually. They've been very good to us. I got to give them props. ADA has been very good to us over the years. And now we have a prime spot because we do our live show from there on Monday morning when we're there. It continues through Monday. We do our live show and we have 15 of their manufacturers over to do little 3 or 4 minute segments on the newest products coming out in the market, on the ones that our listeners haven't seen yet, haven't heard about yet. And it's great. Now the manufacturers want to talk to us. They're leaving notes in our booth saying, we want to be on your show. We want to be on your show. We got this new hot product. So it's changed from us walking around explaining what the heck a podcast is 6 years ago to everybody in the place to now them wanting to come over and be on our show. If you have a trade show like that in your area, all you have to do is call and talk to them. It's probably going to be easier than you think to get in because nobody's thought of doing that. Right. And say, you want to be the radio network for that. So now we're the radio network for this show for the last 6 years. 70% of our advertisers have come from that show.
Now, in addition to Glenn getting more sponsors from that, he also interviewed some of the speakers there, which grew his network. And plus, there were horse people there, and that is his target audience. So number three, the trade show strategy, or I Glenn the Geeked it. Number four, create a landing page for your podcast. This is kind of a head scratcher for me. I see people on Instagram because Instagram only gives you one link and people are using these third party link tree, blah, blah, blah. I do not understand why you're sending people to a third party, because somebody sent me to one of those and they had gone out of business because, well, you know, free is such a good business model. And what I say is go to your website. Mine is schoolofpodcasting.com/subscribe. And that is where you can send people to subscribe to your show. I know I hear it over and over about how ratings and reviews help us get found. No, they don't. It's social proof. What you want is subscribers. So you can basically have a landing page for your podcast. So when people go there, it's a big headline, you know, the blah, blah, blah podcast where we blank. And then you have a description that entices them to click play, you know, so that description can be who is this for and how are they going to benefit? Because who doesn't want to benefit? Then have the buttons there to subscribe. And if you want maybe a paragraph about the host, but I do not understand people sending, you know, just go to, you know, Podtree clickable blah, blah, blah dot io. I'm like, why are you? No, send them to your website. So number four, create a landing page for your podcast, because when they subscribe, the next time they fire up that phone, in many cases, that means another download if you have a new episode out. Number five, this is low-hanging fruit. Add a signature to your email. I'm surprised at how many people send me email and there's no signature. And this is where, like, mine says Dave Jackson. I think it actually says Hall of Fame podcaster, blah, blah, blah. But schoolofpodcasting.com is in there. And if you want it, because, you know, we're podcasters, we love stats, you could actually have it say your website and then actually go into, if you're using Gmail, put in a different link that is trackable. So if you're using something like PrettyLink or Bitly or things like that, if you actually want to see how many people are clicking on your, you know, the link in your signature, you could do that. I did this years ago and was amazed at how many people, if you think about it, you send somebody a long email and they're kind of like, all right, who is this from? Oh, let me, there's his website, click. So that is one, again, that can, and that link in my book would go back to the landing page where it has a description, a button to click on and listen, and buttons to subscribe. Now, if you want to go super cool with your signature, I use a thing called Y-Stamp. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Y-Stamp, you can add all sorts of videos and all sorts of just, again, it's your signature on steroids. So number five, if you don't have it, add a link to your podcast in your signature. Now, we have a bunch of these. You don't have to do all these right now. Like, do one a day or one a week, things like that. The next one seems kind of obvious, but, and I'm going to be honest here, I suck at this. So, and that is using social media. Now, I've been doing a lot more interviews recently, and I've been talking to people with huge audiences. And the one thing I hear over and over and over is that these people are not using social media to post, 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 post. It's just, here I am, here I am, here I am, here I am. It's very one-way conversation, which, again, I'm raising my hand here saying, yeah, that's me. I kind of suck at that. They're using it to actually have conversations with people. And so there are all sorts of cool things you can do with Twitter, for example, to do searches, to find your target audience, and then go over there and listen and actually have a conversation with them. And then again, if people have a question, what do? You point them at your landing page or someplace where they can easily listen and subscribe. So use social media. Now, which ones? Yes. Now, I do not, like, I don't have a TikTok. Why? Because I'm barely on Instagram. Right now, I'm basically primarily a Facebook person. And for the record, if you're a regular listener, I am out of Facebook jail. Yay. And I'm also on Twitter primarily. And so I'm kind of on Instagram. And I just know if I started TikTok, I would be on it almost never. So I'm trying to purposely try have more conversations on Twitter. I'm pretty good at that on Facebook. So number six, if you're not, social media. Now, the other thing we could add here is you could do what kind of social media. So there are all sorts of tools like Headliner and things like that that you can put on your social media. And for me, social media many times, depending on if you're growing your social following, is just going to alert your current audience that, hey, there's a new episode out. But if you are growing new subscribers and new followers and things like that, and they see, hey, the new episode is out, then basically, they might go into whatever app they're using and find your show. But again, instead of, hey, episode 16 is available, you got to make that more conversational. Have you ever thought of such and such? My guest did and won a gazillion dollars or whatever it is. Number seven, make sure your show is easy to share on your website. When Joe Rogan announced that he was going to Spotify, Everybody and their brother was sharing that on social. Why? They want to be the cool kid. They want, I mean, we all want to be kind of the person. We want to be the source in our, whatever your topic is. Like, we want to be that, the leader that people look to. And so when something happens in your field and you have a really good interview or you do a really good podcast and a new episode and people are like, wow, I can't wait to tell, you know, Janice, or I got to tell whoever, and they want to share your show. And sure, they could use the share button in their app and things like that. But if they're on your website, it's super easy. I use a tool called Social Warfare. So it's for WordPress. But what I love about this is the fact that you can pick what image shows up when somebody shares your particular post. So that's why I love that. So number seven, make sure it's easy to share your website. Next week, we're doing an interview with the guy behind PodPage. And PodPage is a tool that's not WordPress. So if you like, look, I need a little more power than my built-in website from my media host, but I don't want WordPress. I don't want Squarespace. I just want it easy. Tune in for next week, because one of the things that Brendan put into those pages is it makes it really easy to share. Number eight, make it easy for your guest to share their episode. So before we're talking about your listener on your website. Now, we talked about having guests on your show, and I'm going to go back to my buddy, Glenn Hebert.
So we've talked to over 6,000 people. Every one of those people, we send a link to when the show's up, and we encourage them to post about it. But I would say go a step further. With people that you're a little concerned may not post, maybe they're really busy, like a lot of our writers are, and they want to help you, but they're busy, right? And as soon as they see your email, they may forget about it by the time they get to Facebook. So what I highly recommend is that you write the paragraph for them. I was on such and such a show, had a great time talking about this. Here's the link. Go take a listen. So all they have to do is copy and paste that paragraph, put the link in the paragraph too, by the way, copy and paste the paragraph, post it on Facebook, and they're done.
And I don't know that I mentioned this yet. Glenn is from the Horse Radio Network. Go over to horseradionetwork.com. And on that particular idea, making it easy for your guest to share, there's a service called click2tweet.com. You pre-write the tweet. They give you a link. And when your guest clicks on it, it opens their Twitter, populates the tweet. All they have to do is click on send. So number eight, make it easy for your guest to share their episode. Number nine, write good headlines. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you're like, Dave, you're going to say that again. Yeah. If you turn on the TV or radio, something starts, but that is not the case when you fire up some sort of podcast app. So what does your audience use to decide what they're going to listen to first? Your headline. And you want keywords at the beginning of your headline. I'm not a big fan of like EP16, even if it's an abbreviation. For me, I don't even put episode numbers in my titles. I put them at the end if I ever did. Your headline, I'm here to tell you, is super important. Also, do not put the name of your show in your episode title, because whatever app people are using to listen, I'm here to tell you the name of your show is somewhere within inches of that episode title. I'm just here to tell you you're wasting very, very, very valuable space when you don't put any time into your episode titles. And I'm here to tell you again, I'll raise my hand, I'm not the best at this. As much as I preach about this, I'm unfortunately usually making my headline the last thing I do. And so I have been doing this. I've been going back and looking at my episodes. And if I go, boy, I should have named it this and this and that. Yeah, you can change it. I say this all the time. Your podcast is a painting or a recipe, not a statue. So I've done that. Number 10, write good show notes. To attract Google, you need words on a page, but not just words. You need good words. And I know some people just want to have transcripts, but unedited transcripts are not really great. They don't really do much. And if you can use headings to allow people to scan the page to see if this interests them, because I'm here to tell you, as somebody who's worked in education forever, most people don't read. And not meaning that they can't read, they choose not to. And so by having headings there, they can kind of scan all the headings and go, oh, this looks like something I would read. So they look, scan, and then if they choose to, they can read it there. So write good show notes. And depending on what you're looking at, different plugins like Yoast say you need at least 300 words. And so above everything else, always remember to write your show notes for people. Because as much as we look at keywords, which is my next thing, and things like that, you have to write for people. And that's number 11, use popular keywords. And there are free tools such as Mangools, that's a weird one, M-A-N-G-O-O-L-S, or Ubersuggest. Both those have free versions. And they make it easy to find what keywords are popular in your topic. But again, above everything else, write your show notes for people. Don't just keyword, 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 because Google doesn't just look for keywords. They look for good content. And that's really where you have an advantage. If you can get people to click and play on your website, they'll stay there longer. And Google's going to go, hey, when people go to that website, they seem to stay there a while. That must be good stuff. So those are a couple things there. Write good headlines, write good show notes, and use popular keywords. Number 12, use graphic or photos. And while many apps, like Apple Podcasts for the record, does not show the episodic artwork, other apps do. And you don't have to do this, but it's just another way to capture attention, which can lead to people clicking. And if you have images on your website, it can actually have them kind of scroll down, or shall we say slow the scroll maybe, as they scroll down your website and see an image. They might go, oh, look at the puppy, and then click play. Number 13, this is another head scratcher for me. Be everywhere. When somebody goes, hey, there's this place where I can list my show, should I? I go, yeah. And they're like, I didn't even say what it was. It doesn't matter. Well, what about Spotify? Yep. What about Apple? Yep. What about Google? Yep. What about TuneIn? Yep. What about whatever? Yeah. I will never understand people who want to make their audience jump through hoops, because I'm here to tell you, people always say, what do you think the future is going to be like? This is what it's going to be like. Somebody's going to walk into a conference room and go, oh man, I was listening to the show on the way into work. It's called the blah, 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 blah show. Oh, it's the best podcast ever. And the six people at the table are going to pull out their phones and pull up whatever app they're using. So somebody might pull up Spotify. Somebody's going to pull up Overcast. Somebody's going to pull up Stitcher. Somebody's going to pull up Castro. Somebody's going to pull up whatever. And they're going to subscribe in their favorite app. And you don't want somebody to go, well, that's weird. I have it. I have it. I have it. Oh, yeah. I use whatever. But because you decided, oh, I don't, you know, it takes like less than 10 minutes. Be everywhere. Number 14, this one I do on occasion. It is hijack the news. If there's something in the news that you can use in your show, well, then why not talk about it? And I mean, in theory, the idea here is it's called newsjacking. You can just Google the phrase newsjacking. There are books on it. The idea is people are going to be looking for this information. And so if you are then talking about it, you might come up in more Google results. That one's kind of like, not sure how much traffic you're going to get from that, but it's an, again, try these, see if it works. Number 15, and this again is where I tip my hat to the one, the only podcast talent coach, Eric K. Johnson. He is the king of this, and that is mastering the art of the tease. If someone is listening to your show and you explain what's coming in the future, that might inspire them to subscribe to your show. So they're like, well, I like what's going on now. And then you say, hey, next week we're talking to the guy from Podpage. They go, ooh, I want to hear that too. So if they hadn't subscribed yet, you're giving them value now. It sounds like you're going to give them value in the future. They might hit subscribe because it's free. And the minute you hit subscribe, it automatically is delivered to your device. You can also do what I kind of call a reverse tease, which is you could actually promote what was on last week's episode. So you can say, hey, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Today, we're going to talk about 30 different ways that you can use, 30 different strategies to grow your audience. If you missed last week's episode, I was talking with Andrew Lewin. This is a guy that is a marine biologist that is now doing podcasting full time. You can find that at schoolofpodcasting.com/726, right? Reverse kind of tease. So now they've heard that next week sounds cool. What you're talking about right now is delivering them value, and you just prove that, hey, you know, if you missed it, last week was pretty cool too. And they're like, wow, this guy just seems to nail it, run it out of the park. She is awesome. I want to subscribe to her podcast. So Master the Art of the Tease. The king of the tease, though, is Eric. He's actually got an episode on this. And again, he's got a course coming up, and I'm sure he's going to be talking about that in his podcast. But the bottom line is you got to have some sort of headline that's going to get people. And just saying things like, hey, the news is coming up. And if you noticed, I did a tease at the beginning of this show. I said, hey, on July 27th, there's something that's going to be happening that's going to enable you to make more money with your podcast. That's my tease. And notice that one has something in it for you. So think about teasing your audience. Not so much na-na-na-na-na-na, because most people don't like that. Number 16, answer questions in forums, groups, Reddit, Quora. And this does two things, really. Number one, it allows you to see what the heck your audience is talking about, what your community is talking about. That might give you ideas for better episodes. And the better the episode, the better the chance somebody's going to share your podcast. Remember, I said make it easy to share. So when you have great content, they are going to share. Where did you get the great content ideas from? From forums, groups, and Reddit and Quora, et cetera, et cetera. And the one thing I think that people miss on this is this is another slow burn one. This one's not going to bring you a ton of listeners, but like I say, it's worth doing because you might get ideas here. But I've seen people answer questions in Facebook groups. And if you do it enough, you're like, who is this Dave Jackson guy? And they click on your name and nowhere in your profile is, oh, here's a link to my website. And so now they're Googling Dave Jackson. Well, there's only 37 million of us. So have a link to your website in whatever profile you're using and have that go back to your website. Number 17, wear your brand. What do you mean by that? Well, anytime I go back when we were allowed to travel, remember that? Does anyone remember laughter? Anyway, when I go to concerts, airports, anything with a large crowd, I typically wear some sort of School of Podcasting t-shirt. When I speak at an event, if I drove to it, I try to park near the door where everyone enters. Why? Because my back window has a sticker that has my website on it. Again, links in the show notes out at schoolofpodcasting.com/727. And the other thing is, because I guess I'm an overachiever, I actually have a custom license plate. My license plate is podcast. That is my license plate number, P-O-D-C-A-S-T. And if I was smart about this, I might put like some sort of little signage on the side windows or something that explains what the heck it is. I use TeePublic for my merch. I also, if you do any kind of video, I now have a big giant, I forget what they call it. It's like a big blanket behind me, but it's not a blanket. I forget what they call it, with my logo behind it. So when you see me do things on Podcasters Roundtable or Ask the Podcast Coach, I have my logo behind me. So anytime I can wear my brand in public, I do. I don't know if that's not cool or not, but if I can get somebody to ask me about podcasting because of what I wear, I will do that. And of course, you can always, you know, ship these off as, you know, prizes or things like that to your audience. I use TeePublic for this, schoolofpodcasting.com/TeePublic, and that is T-E-E public. Number 18, host local events. Again, when you're allowed to, I host the Northeast Ohio Podcasters Meetup. In fact, if you're listening to that today, it's tonight. And I do this on meetup.com. And this group has never been gigantic, but I've met some really great people, had some really good discussions, and I've had a couple people join the School of Podcasting. And, you know, it's always remember, it's not so much who you know, but more importantly, who knows you. And who did I learn that from? That's right, Glenn the Geek. Number 19, business cards as a promotional tool. I just bought 500 cards, double-sided, in color. Cost me $27.36. That is 55 cents a card. And it's for a new show I'm kind of playing with about Akron, Ohio. It's creatively named Akron Podcast. And on the business card, it's got Akron Podcast in giant letters and my tagline and my website. It's not meant for people to contact me because I've got my contact information on the website. But on the back, I put a QR code and it just says, point your smartphone at the square, because I realized some people are going to go, a QR what? So I just gave them directions, point your phone at this. And when it does, when they do, the smartphone will recognize it and go, hey, would you like to open up this website in whatever app they have to, you know, Safari or whatever. And where does it go? You guessed it. My podcast landing page with the description, with a button to play and subscribe buttons. I used GotPrint for my business cards. They seem to do a good job. So you can use that. Now, if you need business cards for people to contact you, I've done that. And I have two different cards, one for potential listeners and one for people I want to connect with. Number 20, write a blog. And I realize you might be going, but Dave, I started a podcast because I hate to write. I get that. Google, again, is into good words, and good words attract Google. So the more good words on your website, the better chance that you're going to be found. Also, think about this. If there are publications around your topic, see if they're looking for articles. I write for the Podcast Business Journal. I've written for Podcast Movements magazine. And so it's just another way, again, to get your name, get your podcast in front of your target audience. Number 21, there may be awards in your industry. I know I just submitted my $25 entrance fee for Ask the Podcast Coach, not this show. This is another show I do on Saturday mornings at podcastawards.com. I'm not sure if you're allowed to vote yet. I will definitely let you know. But if you win at podcastawards.com, you have your show on their front page for a full year. And for me, $25, I'm like, eh, it's worth it. Let's give it a shot. It's going to be fun. I've got that audience to kind of, I'll let them know, hey, it's time to go vote. And they're there every Saturday morning, so that'll be fun. I'm not sure. I think it's the Webby Awards where you have to pay something like $300. I don't know that I would do that. Well, I do know. I wouldn't do that. In this case, it's just Todd Cochran, the guy behind the podcast awards, trying to make sure he doesn't lose his shirt, because those awards are not cheap to make. So again, number 21, podcast awards. Number two, get friendly with Facebook moderators. And think about this. We've talked about, you know, being in Facebook groups and Reddit groups and things like that. See if you can find out who is running that. So if it's a Facebook group, who's the moderator? And if this person is moderating a group on your subject, they might be a good fit for your show as a guest. And then consequently, because it's them and, well, we're all a little vain, they might want to then share your interview with the moderator with the group. So number 22, get friendly with a Facebook moderator. Number three, create an Amazon Flash briefing, hence the word briefing there. This is, according to their stats, it should be less than 10 minutes. In reality, a Flash briefing should be closer to like 2 to 3 minutes. These are things that typically people are listening to when they first get up, as they're brushing their teeth, things like, they're quick. It's like, here's the news today, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. Here's the weather, blah, 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 blah. Here's the verse of the day. You know, things, it's, they're quick. They're, like I said, 2 to 3 minutes. Yes, it could be up to 10. And some media hosts have the option to create a feed that has like an additional feed with just one episode. A Flash briefing can only have one episode in the feed. If you're using Libsyn, which is, I work for them, get a free month at Libsyn. It's libsyn.com by using the coupon code SOPFREE. And you can just add slash last, L-A-S-T, and the number one to the end of your feed. So the feed for this particular podcast is schoolofpodcasting.libsyn.com/RSS. And if I was making a Flash briefing for this show, which I'm not, because, hey, this show is not brief, my feed would be schoolofpodcasting.libsyn.com/last one. And I would give that feed to Amazon. And they have these things called blueprints. It's really not that hard. You have to be a little technical, maybe. But I will say that I have done this in the past. I had a Flash briefing. And so far, for my topic, I'm not getting hardly any play on smart speakers. But if I had a show for kids, that might be a different story. So here's the bottom line. If you got time to put one together, it's free and it doesn't cost you anything. Number 24, mention your other episodes and link to them in the show notes. You heard me mention my episode about interviewing. You heard me mention interviews with Glenn the Geek. And some people might go, "Why, that Glenn the Geek guy sounds pretty cool." Well, schoolofpodcasting.com/Glenn the Geek. Remember, Glenn has two N's. And what that does is the actual linking to yourself actually helps SEO in some kind of bizarre way. But also then, if somebody clicks on that link, goes to your website and listens again, that's going to signal Google that, hey, this content must be pretty good because somebody went from one page to another page and then sat there for another 5 minutes. So number 24, mention your other episodes and link to them in the show notes. And again, the other thing this is going to show is for the new user, and realize we have a lot of new users coming on. They're going to go, "Wow, I'm listening to this show. They mentioned the show that's next week and this and that. And now, wow, apparently 6 weeks ago, they did a show on this." And they're just starting to see that, wow, everything seems to really just match what I'm looking for. And then they're going to, you guessed it, subscribe. And that's what it's all about. 25, be sure to let any company that you've mentioned in your podcast, let them know they were mentioned. I am playing with an Akron, Ohio podcast. I let the mayor, I let the mayor's office know that I played clips from his press conference in the episode, and I saw a bump in my podcast. Now, that one, again, is kind of a test show, but nonetheless, I still try to find good content and stuff. And when I first put that out, the first episode, and this was in Apple Podcasts and all the other places, it got 8 downloads. 8. Yeah, I spent like an hour and a half and got 8 downloads. So when I say you need a lot of passion when you first start up, you need a lot of passion. But it's something I'm playing with. It's a little toy. It's a little test. So again, if you, any company that you mentioned in your podcast or another person, whoever you talked about, let them know on social media, "Hey, I mentioned you," especially if you said something good. I have a great example of this. If you don't listen to Red Podcast, you should. That's my buddy David Hooper. And on episode 272, he let me know, "Hey, I interviewed Zita Christian, who is awesome. She's a member of the School of Podcasting." The title of that episode, here again, titles come in handy, "The 70-Year-Old Podcaster with Zita Christian." And Zita says some very nice things because when she started off, I was helping her with her podcast. In fact, she's still a member of the School of Podcasting, as is Dave. And so Dave said, "Hey, Zita said some really nice things about you. And I'm now letting you know that Zita said some really nice things about me. And it's a great podcast episode, especially if you're thinking you're too old to podcast." Zita would look at you and go, "Ha." So mention other people. If you mention somebody in your podcast, let them know that they were mentioned, which is similar to number 26, which is partner with a company. Now, we've talked about swapping ads or swapping promos or swapping episodes with other podcasters, but you can also look at partnering with other companies. And Lee Silverstein has a great philosophy with this. He said, "Whose message can I help amplify?" And Lee does the We Have Cancer podcast. You can find that at wehavecancer.com. And consequently, he now has had a couple different partners over the years, and he's created these great win-win situations where they will help promote his show. Maybe he gets some content, things like that. Is there somebody else that you go, whose message can I help amplify? Number 27, and I put this one towards the end, pay for ads. You can advertise in podcast apps like Overcast and Spotify, and I think there were a couple other ones. I actually tried this. I paid $350 on Overcast.fm. I got 168 subscribers. Now, if you do the math on that, that means I paid $2.08 a subscriber. And there are sites like Podcorn and AdvertiseCast where you can actually act as a sponsor and go in. And there are people on those sites that are podcasters that are looking for sponsors. But keep in mind that, especially for people that use like CPM, that means cost per 1,000 downloads, it's usually somewhere between $20 and $50. And if somebody has, let's say, 3,200 downloads per episode and they're charging $20, well, that's going to end up being $64 an episode. And that would be whatever, 120, 240, never do math on a podcast. That's a lot of money per month, depending on what your budget is. If you're looking for Facebook ads, again, the great thing about Facebook ads is you can get hyper, super niche on who you're sending to your website. Meg Brunson is a great person for that. I met her at PodFest. And for me, if I'm paying for any of these, I am not going to pay for them to download something. I'm going to pay to them to go to my landing page where they can see what the show's about, listen to it, and subscribe. If there, I already mentioned, if there are trade magazines, you might want to check and see if you can buy an ad at the back of that. Again, that's some of these, I'm not sure, because that one, I'm not paying for ads unless it's a podcast magazine and it's something in my budget. Just keep, again, whatever you do, I've seen people do this. They'll buy an ad and they'll actually have them redirect to an actual MP3 file. Well, the person who does that has no idea where it came from. They don't know how to do it again, except maybe click on your ad, which is going to cost you more money. Send them to your website where they can listen, understand what it is, and subscribe. Number 28, I've actually been in a couple newspapers through this resource, and it's called Help a Reporter Out. And it's basically, I think it's twice a day, they send, hey, here's a bunch of reporters. We're looking for somebody who can talk about blank. And so in my case, I was able to talk about a couple different subjects. And I was in like the, I think the Orange County Register something, something, Gazelle, et cetera, et cetera. Help a reporter out. And again, not going to probably give you thousands of downloads, but it never hurts to have a friend in the media. And that gets your foot in the door. Number 29, hold a how to listen to podcast talk at the library. And really, if you just talk about that, I'm going to throw this in here. Talking again, assuming again that we can get together in rooms, just being a public speaker is a way to grow your audience. And one of the things I do is I use a tool called Slick Text. And so I will say, I'll have on a slide, it'll be like text SOP to 31996. Go ahead and try it now if you want. Text SOP to 31996. And what does that do? You guessed it. It sends subscribe links from Apple and Google. So, but sometimes it's hard, especially when you're first starting out, getting speaking gigs. So reach out to something like the library. Think about this. I've seen people, we talked about trade shows. If you're doing a hyper local show and they do like a farmer's market or some sort of garage sale or something where the town gets together, do that. But the library, sometimes the bar might be a little lower to speak at the library. So that might be one. And you could do a how to listen to podcasts. And then while you're there, show them how to subscribe to podcasts. And guess whose podcast you're going to show them how to subscribe to? Yours. Number 30, make a how to subscribe tutorial. Well, this is very similar to 29. You're doing it live. 30, you're kind of doing it. But here's the thing. This could be as simple as going on Facebook Live. And I'm going to try this live because this works about 60% of the time. And you could go, hey, welcome to Facebook. It's me. And if you didn't know how to subscribe to a podcast, you could do this. Hey, Siri, subscribe to the School of Podcasting podcast.
Just to confirm, would you like to subscribe to the podcast School of Podcasting by Dave Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, I've subscribed you.
And if I did that on Facebook, I would have a tutorial showing people how to subscribe to my show. Now, I realize, especially across the world, that the U.S. is the only country that has a majority of people on iOS. And it's not that easy on the Android side. But nonetheless, that took me all of 3 seconds to do. And then you can have a tutorial that has screenshots on how to subscribe in Google Podcasts and in Spotify. What we need to do is make sure that as we start to think that everybody knows about podcasting, there is a fair amount of people on this planet that have no idea what you're talking about. And we need to make sure that anyone who is bashful about admitting that, I have no idea what you mean when you say subscribe to a podcast, that they have a nice, safe place to come and say, I have no idea how to subscribe to a podcast. Because realize, if you're like me, you're talking about podcasting all the time. All right, Dave, I've been waiting for it. What the heck is happening July 27th that's going to help me make money with my podcast? That is when the book, Profit from Your Podcast, written by one Dave Jackson, will become available. It's available for pre-order now. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/profitbook, that's schoolofpodcasting.com/profitbook, you can order it, or I should say you can pre-order it today, and it will be released on July 27th. The question of the month is, if you could have one guest on your show, who would it be and why? Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/question. I need these by June 26, 2020. Again, schoolofpodcasting.com/question. We gave you a lot of things to try today. Again, don't try to do these all in one day. That'll be a little overwhelming. If you want to dig in deeper, don't forget my buddy Eric K. Johnson is going to be doing a whole 6-week course on this. He's got 6 different weeks, different strategies. If you're looking for an accountability partner, again, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/AA for that. That is the audience amplification blueprint. And if you go, Dave, I don't even have a podcast yet, come visit me over at schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Use the coupon code LISTENER. That'll save you 20% off. If you found yourself taking notes today, then that means you found value in this. And can you do me a favor as well? I hate to ask you to do one more thing, but could you tell a friend and say, hey, oh, you do podcasting? You got to go listen to Dave's show, schoolofpodcasting.com/727. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, take care. God bless. Class is dismissed. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. And presence to your voice. They have a great interface. The daily source code is not the right show there, Dave. You want to get that out of the show notes. Number 31. Put the words on fire at the end of your... Okay, I'm just kidding.